Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone in the franchise world. My name is Paul Segretto, and this is Franchise Today. Boy, I can't be more excited starting our fourth season on Franchise Today, and I'm just absolutely blown away by all the great comments about the show, and I'm really looking forward to a very strong show, especially as we look to counter or actually complement a lot of what we do on Franchise Today with our new digital magazine, Franchise Essentials Magazine. And, of course, this is all part of the Franchise Essentials Media Group, and we also have Franchise Summit, which has its second annual Franchise Social Media Summit coming up the week of September 24th. Through 28th. It's 5 days, 10 hours, 13 great speakers. And if you want a preview of that next week, some of the presenters will be on Franchise Today with me talking about the upcoming summit and the topic, which is SOMOLO, social, mobile, and local. A lot of things going on in franchising. Next week, I will be at the Public Affairs Conference, the IFA, and committee meetings. As are a lot of franchise professionals. It'll be a great event. And then, of course, in October, we're looking at the West Coast Franchising Expo, Franchise Updates Leadership Conference, and then I'll be speaking at the Franchise Brokers Association Conference in Orlando, Florida, in November. So really a very busy trek of time, and certainly we'll be broadcasting live throughout every Thursday at 11 a.m. on Franchise Today. Today, my guest is a returning guest, Susan Blackmuth. I mean, I can't say enough. I was looking this morning at Susan's LinkedIn profile, and I noticed her middle initial is E, and I think that definitely stands for Energizer, because this person has absolute more energy than I could even imagine. If franchising had a Hunger Games, I certainly want Susan on my team. Recently, last week, I was honored to be participating in the first ever Dealmaker Summit, which is basically the brainchild of Susan Blackmuth. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Susan. Susan, welcome again to Franchise Today.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you know, it's really something, and I know you're going to probably blush, but I want to read some of these quotes that have been shared with me. And it says, "Hi, Susan, I'm on my flight home, but wanted to drop you a note with two words, first class. That's my description of the last few days, people, hotel, food, attendees, private equity folks, etc. Thanks for all you do for the franchising industry." That was from Barry Falcon of Shelf Genie. And Andy Phipps, Vice President of Investors Management Corporation, said, "The event surpassed the high expectations I had coming in. It was a great opportunity to learn about interesting concepts and network with franchising executives." Michael Daigle, partner at Chang Cohen, who was also the platinum sponsor of the event, chimed in by saying, "Congratulations, Susan. It was a great event, not just a great first-time event, but a great event. You should be very proud of what you put together. I'm glad I was allowed to play a small part. This surely become the must-attend conference. Well done." And finally, Ron Erickson chimed in and said, "You set the stage for an event that will benefit the growth." I'm sorry, this is from Roger Peterson from Behaving Kids. "You set the stage for an event that will benefit the growth of franchising for years to come." And finally, Ron Erickson said, "I love the summit. I honestly cannot remember the last time that I attended something done with such excellence, and I will never forget the wisdom that you shared from your dad. Never ignore a vision." And I think that's probably the most fitting title for this show, Never Ignore a Vision. And without really just bombarding you with questions, I'm going to ask you to start out with, explain, never ignore a vision.
So it's ironic. So I've been working on Dealmakers for almost a year now, and never ignore a vision was one of the very first things that my dad said to me, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. But to hear you just say it again, Paul, gives me chills. It still gives me shivers to think about it and to know that it came together. But So last October, you know, I've spent a lot of time for Superwash, which is my day job, right, is to be the chief operating officer of Superwash Car Washes, my family's business with 300 units across the country at self-serve car washes. And we're trying to figure out who we're going to be when we grow up. My folks are in their early 60s, and we've been doing this for, you know, 35-plus years now. So I've been looking at the equity world and trying to understand that, and it just became very clear that there's a lot of money out there, and there's a lot of folks that need money, but the path between the two is neither straight nor efficient. So the idea for Dealmakers, that's how it really was born. And morning when I was working out, I thought to myself, why can't we just put them in a room together and see what happens? But I needed to talk with my executive team at Superwatch because I knew it was going to take a lot of my time. And so I called my dad and I said, Dad, I need you to be my dad for the next 5 minutes, not my CEO, but please be my dad because I got to talk to you about this. And I said, you know, all these years, you've been our visionary, and he is. He's a true visionary. And, you know, so often in business, he would say, guys, I just know this is what we need to do. I just know it. I can see it as easily as the shade on the window is pulled up. It's that clear to me. And I never really got that because I wasn't the visionary until Dealmakers. It was like the shade had been pulled up for me, and the vision for Dealmakers was as clear to me on day one as if the event had already happened. And so I was talking to my dad, and I said, here's what I'm thinking, but it's just going to take some time away from Superwash. I think I can balance both. And he said to me, Susan, one thing I've learned over the years is that you never ignore a vision. And I really want to support you, and I think you should do this and push this rock up the hill until you find out why you shouldn't. And so that's what I ran with, is the support of my family. And then obviously I'm hoping we'll talk about all the folks along the way who helped push the rock up the hill, because it certainly wasn't just me.
Well, certainly I appreciate you sharing that. And I think there's got to be another rock that helped push you up the hill, and that had to be your family living in the four walls of your home. What was your response from your better half when you said, look, I'm thinking of doing this?
Yeah, poor Kevin. He is such a wonderful man and a great dad. And there is no way that I even remotely get to do or accomplish the things that I try to take on without him, because he knows that that's just my drive. But, you know, he said, if this is what you feel like you got to do, you know, I want you to go ahead and do it, because he knows that if I have the passion to do something like that, whether it's, you know, my crazy idea to start doing triathlons, or when I decided to try my hand at being a professional speaker or any of that stuff, he knows that I'm going to be really bummed if he says no. So he fortunately is super supportive. And I'll tell you, though, when Dealmakers had its really scary, slow start, which it did, it was really very scary, and I started looking at the financial obligation that I had knowingly undertaken, but wasn't quite sure that I was going to be totally in for, that was when, Paul, I knew that the rubber needed to meet the road, because I had no idea how I was going to explain to Kevin that this vision now turned into a huge financial burden for our family. So thank goodness I didn't have to tell him that part, because it all came together, but he is my rock, so...
Well, that's awesome, and certainly rocks build a foundation, and there were other parts of the foundation. Your sponsors, I know Amy Chang and Rick Cohen stepped up to the plate as platinum sponsors with their firm, Fang Cohen, and other sponsors for the event. Really, a lot of people came together. So why don't we take a moment to talk about some of the sponsors, some of the summit partners, and then, of course, leading into the various advice that you got along the way from just a tremendous panel of advisors.
Yeah, so absolutely, Chen Cohen stepped up and really came forward first to say, we want to do this, and we want to do this in a big way and help you make this happen. You know, I've been very fortunate over the years to build a great relationship with Amy and Rick. They are, you know, they are our counsel for Superwash. So Amy and I have worked a lot of long nights and weekends together running our conversion from licensing to franchising, and I've obviously experienced firsthand what great attorneys they both are. So it was a real pleasure to get to work with them, but even more to have their vote of confidence in me, that they believed in me and the concept and the need for the industry, that they wanted to step up financially in this big a way. You know, Kevin Hine at Fagree Baker Daniels and his supporting team there, Rocco Fiorentino at Benetrends. You know, Benetrends is the least obvious of the sponsors, mm-hmm. I think, that came to the plate. But, you know, I'll let you in on a couple of secrets throughout this call. But before we left Chicago, Rocco and Benetrends recommitted to Dealmakers 2013. So to be sponsors for that event. So it was a good showing for them, a good place for them to differentiate their services. And I know that you even said how much you learned from the educational session that Rocco mm-hmm. put on. So really grateful for him. Sandy Shoemaker from EKS&H, which was an awesome connection. I had never met Sandy before. I'd never really heard of EKS&H, which is a tax consulting group out of Denver. But my good buddy Lonnie Helgerson from Helgerson Franchise Group, who wrote Five Pennies, we were having a great conversation one day, and he said, well, have you ever met Sandy? And that's how great things happen, right? So Sandy and EKS&H stepped up, and then Mike Rosman and David Nair from Bowfly, the Bowfly Boys, have been amazingly supportive, not only as technology partners, but also as cash sponsors to the event too. So I don't know. I mean, that's some pretty serious horsepower in the franchise industry amongst that group of five.
Absolutely. And I know some of the summit partners, Marianne O'Connell over at FranWise, the great ladies over at Plan Ahead Events, Fishman Public Relations, Daryl Johnson and his crew over at FranData, Tom Epstein over at Franchise Payment Networks, Eric Stith over at Franchise Business Review, Franchisor Pipeline, Samco. I mean, you had some great, great, great partners in this event. So as you started down this path and you realized, I'm going to need some help, and I think I heard you say at the conference and in some of our previous calls that you had never really put on a conference, and certainly not one of this magnitude. And that had to be a daunting task ahead. And tell us what you did at that point.
Yeah, I want to make sure that our friends at Hot Dish Advertising, Dawn Kane, gets mentioned as well, because Dawn and her team are behind the beautiful website and in our marketing that then the rest of the folks were able to push out there. So I'm so grateful to Dawn and her team too. But yeah, so my original job out of college was I went to work for a conference production company in Chicago, and I was putting on $4,000 a day, two-day events for senior-level banking and IT executives. But I was not on the ops side of event planning, which is kind of ironic given that I am an ops girl at heart. And I was a writer, and so I wrote the programs. I did all the research and put together the 2 days of, you know, basically speeches and bullet points is what I did. And so I had been a bit in the conference world because we were at the Waldorf Astoria and the Plaza Hotel and Windows on the World in New York City and, you know, in San Francisco and New Orleans. And I had obviously seen some really big events come together firsthand, but I hadn't ever had to deal with banquet event orders other than for my wedding type deal. And, mm-hmm. you know, I didn't know how much, frankly, Paul, those little bottles of soda are at a hotel. I hope you only had one, by the way, because that's all we allotted per person. But, you know, breakfast just doesn't seem like it should cost that much for, you know, some fruit and a granola bar. But it was really a learning experience for me of how all that came together, working with the in-house AV team. You know, I didn't know anything about that stuff. And so, you know, first place I started was with my friends. It's just like starting up a business, right? I mean, I was a true kind of an entrepreneur in this sense that you start with friends and family. And so I obviously started with my family and make sure I had their nod. And then I went to my friends and I started with Marianne at FranWise. And I just said, gosh, I'm just having this idea. Could you help me run with this? And she said, yeah, but I don't really know how I'm going to contribute. I said, trust me, it's going to show itself. And I'm also going to just need your support and your friendship. And so she said, yeah, then I'm in. Let's figure this out. And I said, but I don't know anything about working with these hotels. What do I do? She goes, why wouldn't we call Thelma and Rose at Plan Ahead Events in Tampa Bay and ask them if they want to do this with us? I said, well, I can't believe that didn't occur to me. This is so obvious. Yes, let's do that. So I made that call. They were actually running a show at the time. And I said, guys, I want to bounce this off of you. Think about it on the plane on the way home and let me know if you want to do this. Here's the things to those three specifically that I said. I said, I can't guarantee you any work will come out of this for you, any new clients. I can't guarantee you that I will be able to pay you. The only thing I can guarantee you is that it won't cost you anything. If there are outstanding financial obligations, I will shoulder that responsibility. But it will take your time, and it will take your creativity and your energy. Other than that, I can't make any guarantees. And they foolishly, Paul, signed on and said, yes, we're in. And from there, the first call we had, now remember that we're talking Tampa Bay is Plan Ahead Events, right? So East Coast time. Then you're talking me in Chicago, Central time, and you're talking Franwise in California, so Pacific time. So every time the four of us would try to get together, we're coordinating three time zones. And so we got on our first call, and decidedly all of us said the friendship comes first, regardless of what happens, because none of us had ever worked together, let alone tried to pull off something this huge, this groundbreaking, this new. None of us had ever worked together. We just knew we were friends and liked each other and thought we were probably pretty good at what each of us individually does. And we said the friendship comes first. And when we were in Chicago last week together having our celebratory dinner, just the four of us before everything kicked off, we said, and the friendship comes last. It is the bookends to everything for us. Mm-hmm. And so from there, we said, look, okay, we're going to roll with this. And so we started looking at hotels, and there's a great story behind the Sofitel and how it came to be too. And then I needed my board of advisors, and I don't want to go further down this path than you want me to, but I'm happy to talk about how that group came together too.
Yeah, I think, and we'll touch on that here real quick, but I think, you know, probably the backbone for you and Marion and Thelma and Rose as friends is just probably just an undying respect for each other as people and as professionals in franchising. And I can see that, and it was, of course, I know Marion, I know you, but first time I got an opportunity to meet Thelma and Rose. Truly professionals in every sense.
Well, if I could interrupt for just a second, I have to give a quick example that, you know, I'm a pretty independent gal and have been for many, many, many years, and I'm used to taking care of myself, and I don't really want anybody to ever feel like they are waiting on me or anything like that. I try to be very sensitive to that, even though I'm sure it does happen sometimes. But on Tuesday morning, I said to Marianne, what do you want me to do today? Now, kind of as the leader of the band, you'd sort of expect that I knew the music, right? But I said, what do you want me to do today? And she said, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but we don't really need you anymore. And I said, well, what do you mean? And we know that the three-foot details are not my strength. I am a 30,000-foot girl, and I know that about myself. And she just said, frankly, Suze, anything operational the next 2 days, we've got it. Like, we'll handle it. It's just ours. Let us deal with it. It's what we want to do for you. And you go do what you do well, which is being the hostess, connecting people, making sure that everybody feels welcome. And so that's really the mindset we took into it. And we knew we wanted everybody to feel, you know, Selma's joke was we hugged them on the way in and we hugged them on the way out. Like, that was us. And that was the vibe we wanted to bring. But for 2 days, I am not kidding, that Rose carried my cell phone and my lip gloss in her pocket. So all I had to do was walk out of a session, retouch, you know, fluff and buff, retouch my lip gloss, check my phone, which ended up being a good thing because my first grade son, Andrew, who's six, he was supposed to go to an after school program on Tuesday, which was the second day of school. And I got a text from my neighbor in the middle of the afternoon on Tuesday. Everything at the summit was in full swing Tuesday afternoon, right? We'd kicked off. Mm-hmm. Everybody was running around. And I get this text that says, was Andrew supposed to get off the bus? Well, no, Andrew wasn't supposed to get off the bus. What do you mean? He's supposed to be at the after-school program. So I make a call, and my six-year-old, by his teacher, had accidentally, as he explained to me later, Mom, it was just a misunderstanding, had been put on the bus, went home, and was sitting at our house by himself on the back porch.
Oh, my God.
Now, if it wouldn't have been for my neighbor, I mean, there was 100 flukes that had to happen, that this incident only lasted 15 minutes instead of much longer, and that my husband didn't go to pick up Andrew that night with him not being there. But Thelma and Rose saw how flustered I was, and they knew I needed to get my head back in the game, and I needed to deal with the people that were on the other side of this situation for Andrew right then. And they said, what can we do? I said, well, it's the second day of this brand-new program. I don't have a contact phone number. Here's his school. Here's his name. If there's any way you could find me somebody to talk to, that would be awesome. So I walked into the educational sessions that Marianne was running. It wasn't 5 minutes, and Rose opened the door, pointed to me, pointed to her phone, and said, come here. In that short amount of time, Thelma and Rose had tracked down the director of the after-school program for me so that I could have words with her and understand what had happened, why my son wasn't there, and why nobody had called me, and understand how they were going to take care of that situation, and then get my head back in the game. He's, you know, my two kids and my husband are my everything. And thinking
sure.
about him sitting outside by himself, but Rose and Thelma just took care of that for me. And I got to say, coming back to the real world, I'd kind of like to be back there with somebody carrying my phone and my lip gloss and
yeah.
making phone calls for me. So they all three of them, there's absolutely no parallel. They were unbelievable.
You know, you mentioned about being an independent woman, and of course, I see a lot of what goes on in your life on Facebook.
Yeah.
I've seen pictures of you with a shotgun. I saw recently you caught that 5.5-pound marlin.
No, stop yourself. It was an 8-pound, 13-ounce catfish now, Paul Segretto. Come on.
Come on, the year 2055. You're going to be talking to your great-grandchildren.
He'll
yeah,
be a 20-pound catfish
the
by then.
And
bet.
Of course, I know right in the middle of this, your kids start school.
Yep.
Here you are in Chicago. You're enjoying dinner with your friends that come in, Thelma and Rose and Marianne. And then you have to go back, take the kids to school, come back, and obviously launch into the project and into the conference. And all along, and not to mention, let's throw in a couple of mini triathlons and full triathlons along the way.
Yeah, I haven't been racing too much this summer.
I could imagine just your mind how it must race through all of those, thinking about all the things and trying to keep it organized. And we're going to have to get you some more RAM for your memory up there. But I know that. In order to do this all, you relied on some very special people on your board of advisors, David Barr, Rocco Fiorentino, Todd Repnagel, and Tabasso Lumtas. Explain a little bit how that all worked out and what was some of the advice that they actually gave you.
Yeah, so obviously for, just great men who I've been very fortunate to become, good friends with too. And a lot of that I will absolutely say I give thanks to the IFA Board of Directors for, because that's where we spend, the most amount of time together. And poor David Barr and Black Beth, we sit right next to each other. So we get going sometimes. But I'd also like to kind of add a fifth person into that, and that's Aziz Hashim. And Aziz has also been just a tremendous resource for me, not officially on the Board of Advisors, but he should be because he's been awesome. But anyway, when I started, just like you would do, any due diligence, you have this idea, but you got to see if it's more than just proof of concept. And so I started making phone calls, and probably 30, 35 people from, the greats of Sid Feltenstein and Ken Walker and Steve Romanello and, all the folks you'd think of and you'd want to reach out to. I just made that cold call. Unfortunately, most of them took my call and were very gracious enough to spend some time with me. And each of these four guys, when I talked to them, and then certainly Aziz too, they just said yes, and I believe in this, and I believe in you, and I want to help bring it to market. I want to be a part of this. And so it worked out, really well, because with Rocco, at the time he was the CEO of Swiss Farms. Now he's moved to the chairmanship of that group with Saxby's, but he's also now the CEO of Benetrends. And, with his years at Krispy Kreme, he's just has a tremendous wealth of franchise knowledge on all sides of the desk. And then Todd, coming from his background as a franchisee at Blimpy, then having been with the Service Brands Group and leading Mr. Handyman on the Zor side, and now going to AM Conservation, which is owned by Trivest, he had the PE side plus the franchisee and the franchisor side. And then you go to David, who I can't even keep track of all the things that David and his group are involved in, but he's a franchisor international player. Obviously, part of the reason David couldn't be in Chicago is he had to fly to Australia to do some franchise work there. Multi-unit franchisee, very large multi-unit franchisee of some of the big restaurant concepts. And then, you get Aziz and Tabassum, who just are multi-concept, multi-unit folks who just totally understand, and not that the other guys don't, but they're living what it means to build it from the ground up. And, and just to amass size and momentum. And, I really wanted to include the multi-unit folks. At first, Paul, I thought that they would be there potentially to look at investors to get capital to grow their systems. as we got into the development, and this would be a cool topic for us to talk about too, is how we shifted the sales of the event kind of midstream, I guess. But part of the shift was, no, they need to be here as potential investors. They're part of the capital pool, not necessarily part of the other side of the pool. And, you know, Aziz, I just adore him. I adore all these guys. But Aziz came up to me after the event, and he said, you know, Suze, I made some calls for you this year. That was, hey, there's this event I'm going to go to. You might want to look at going. He said, next year my calls will be, you need to be at DealMakers.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely,
that was just a very powerful statement to me. Obviously, I respect the heck out of Aziz and what he's accomplished, and just think the world of him as a guy. But for him to say, I'm going to go tell my friends, you know, my respected network, no, you need to be here. I just really appreciated that.
Yeah, really, some very powerful people in the money world of franchising, without a doubt. And some great stories. And I think what really made the biggest impression of me, beyond, you know, the networking, and the networking events were great. I've never been to a conference in a more intimate setting and got so much accomplished and so much information shared in such a relatively short period of time, which I think really is to your credit and your team's credit, you know, putting together and looking at the most minute detail, you know, being able to come in out of town, you know, from out of town one day, participate in the whole event, great food, banquet-type facilities, and I'll let you talk a little bit about Sofitel Hotel, I mean, which was just extraordinary. But, I mean, these minute details, it was just so perfect. And then, of course, people were able to fly back out of town within a 36-hour period. And it's just extraordinary, the detail that went into this. And I really was impressed, like I was saying, about the panel. The panel discussion was so eye-opening. So, you know, within the social media space, I talk a lot about truth, trust, and transparency. And I think those are these three key words that I think represented that panel of experts within the private equity and franchising space that just was so heartwarming, entertaining, mind and thought-provoking. Share some of those thoughts, because that panel discussion, I've repeated the stories several times already, and I'd like to give you the opportunity to share some of that from your perspective.
Yeah, that was fun. And that's, you know, part of what DealMakers was all about was having fun in the process. And that's kind of a Dwyer Group, you know, line too. They have fun in the process. And we were trying to do the same here. We wanted to have fun because life's too short to not have fun when you can be at some of these things. And you guys all spend enough time on the road, just like I do, that when you're away from home, we wanted to make it feel like you were surrounded by friends and family. And so when I reached out to Ken Walker and John Rachi and Tabassum and asked them to, you know, be a part of this panel, I had a list. You saw me with my clipboard, which made me look very official, I thought, by the way. I did ask the security guys, by the way, if I could get one of those earpieces with a little squiggly thing so that I could talk into my wrist. They refused me, and Thelma, Rose, and Marianne wouldn't let me have one either. They were going to put one of those key fobbles on a squiggly chain on my ear just so I felt important. But anyway, so I had my clipboard, and I had a list of 6 or 7 questions, of which we got to 2 of them because the stories were so compelling. But, you know, really what we wanted to talk about was the initial vision for DealMakers is that it was a place where deals got done. It was a place where Party A and Party B were in a room and we said, yes, we want to take this to the next level. I will say, ultimately, it didn't turn out to be that, and I don't know that that's a bad thing. The way it has morphed and grown has been really cool and really important for franchising, I think. But I wanted John and Ken and Tabassum, each who have taken a different path to growth in their respective companies, to talk about the different ways, other than going strict private equity, that there are to grow your concepts and to grow your companies. I wanted people in the room, these brand new franchisors and some who aren't so brand new but are looking at really taking off. I wanted them to see, you know, like John's doing with Title Boxing right now. You know, he's working with the Title Boxing company and how that has propelled their growth and their business opportunity. Ken did traditional private equity, but how that deal morphed over the years all the way through the most recent recap before Ken retired here recently. And then to Bassam just doing it. I love, love, love his story. And there's many of them out there like this. I used to work at a Long John Silver's when I first came here, and now I own the company. Like, a lot of people don't know that about Tabassum. They think he's a multi-unit franchisee, and he is, but he was part of the Capital Group that ultimately bought Long John Silver's from Yum Brands last year. And I will never forget the day I was on the phone with him, and he said, well, nobody really knows this, Susan, but at the end of December, you know, my group is going to be buying Long John Silver's. And I said, oh, how many are you going to be buying? I mean, I thought that was a pretty practical question. He said, no, I'm going to go become a franchisor now. I said, oh, you're buying Long John Silver's. Like, that wasn't a conversation I had expected to have that day. But for these guys to just tell their stories with such heart and such passion, you know, each of them was very dedicated to their brand and what they were doing. You know, I love Rachi's story where he, you know, he's down at Belfour City and he's mobilized his team in basically 5 days. And they said, wow, we've never seen anything like this before. And John says, me neither, you know, because it was brand new. It was brand new, and it was just shifting on the fly and not ignoring the vision that he could get there. And Ken, very much the same way when he bought, you know, his companies and took them forward for Driven Brands. So pretty awesome panel just to have that expertise in the area.
Just absolute remarkable stories. We're live today on Franchise Today. My guest is Susan Blackbeth, a founder and chair of Dealmakers Summit. And we're talking about the recently completed Dealmakers Summit and providing a little bit of a recap here today. You know, Susan, as we talked, and we've talked several times over the last few months, you've been on Franchise Today before, and so I got to learn a lot about you and your thoughts and moving this Dealmakers Summit forward. And I knew that Dealmakers Summit wouldn't just be a one-time event. I know we've been going back and forth online, and we've been putting out teasers about some exciting information. And so I'm going to ask you to share some of that exciting information about the future of Dealmakers Summit.
Yeah, so obviously when we left Chicago, we asked for everybody's feedback, and I had pretty candid conversations with all of the equity guys. I mean, obviously, Paul, you saw the caliber of the private equity groups that we had in the room are, I mean, they're the top of the top. You know, I mean, when you start working with, obviously, the Rourkes and the Riverside Company and the Halifax Group and IMC and you know, Trivest, and, I mean, those types of companies that are really, Levine Lichtman, that's really involved in franchising, we wanted to make sure that they're happy. We want to make sure that they want to come back. And so we've been very, you know, very adamant about that. But as I was taking Thelma and Rose and Marianne to the airport that afternoon, and you kind of go through that, you know, and you'll see it obviously with your big event coming up here later this month, you go through that kind of just that, whew, you know, that exhale, because now it's all over, and it's just been working so hard, and we were kind of beating ourselves up in the car about the few things we would have done different, or I was really ticked when this happened, or boy, we missed it over here. And really, in the grand scheme of things, those things were so minute. But we all said, what do we think for 2013? And, you know, I have to say that my reservation is probably the highest, and it's a very personal one. Dealmakers was a huge labor of love, like so many folks have in their businesses and in their daily lives. I can't count the hundreds of hours that I put into Dealmakers, and I wanted to. And I'm so thankful that I did now that I saw the result. But there could be, you know, Superwash, as I mentioned, is looking at a potential partnership. Whether that comes to be or not, nobody knows yet. We're in the very early stages. But I don't know what kind of time commitment I'm going to have in 2013. You know, I'm obviously doing more speaking, and certainly my full-time job with Superwash could change. And so I just didn't feel like I could really throw down that gauntlet and say, yeah, let's sign up to do this again. Well, the other, you know, the girls had all said, yes, I'm in. I want to do this. And so I said, well, we're going to have to just keep talking about it. And so obviously I've been making follow-up phone calls, and I, as I mentioned, Benetrends had signed up on-site to be a sponsor in 2013. Fagery Baker Daniels had signed up on-site to be a sponsor in 2013. And I was talking with Amy yesterday, and we were just recapping, and I just said, you know, Amy, one of my favorite lines out of the whole thing is Amy led a great session. I think that, Paul, you sat in on the very opening session, you know, facilitated a group of the private equity folks, and I had somebody come up to me and say, you know what, I knew that Amy was good. I just didn't know she was that good. And, you know, I'm in a very fortunate spot that I've known Amy is that good for a long time, and Chen Cohen's got some real talent. So Amy and I were talking yesterday, and I just really wanted to get her feedback, if she was happy, you know, with the event, if she felt like it was a beneficial use of their time and that kind of stuff. And we got to the end of the call, and she said, so what comes next? And I said, well, I don't know. Well, we're going to have to see what happens for 2013. And she said, well, would it help if you had a titanium sponsor again?
Awesome.
And I said, what are you saying to me right now? And she said, we'll absolutely take it. We would love to be your titanium sponsor again in 2013. And so just, you know, I'm giddy. I'm absolutely giddy that we've had, you know, that kind of response from our sponsors, that they are that pleased with how things went. And to have, you know, Amy and Rick recommit for that size of financial commitment for 2013. Really indicates that all things very positive for deal makers. And I emailed the girls this morning again, Thelma Rose and Marianne, and I said, guys, I want to make the announcement today on Franchise Today, but I want your in. And the resounding response was not just yeah, but hell yeah, we're in. So Dealmakers 2013, and we will wait for the survey results to see what month it gets held in. But it would be amazing if it wasn't just right back at the Sofitel. I mean, they did a great job. And Rose tells me that I'm ruining her plans for negotiations in 2013 by saying that. But, you know, we really had a great experience there, and I am just so grateful to Chang Cohen, Benetrend, Fagery Baker Daniels, and I'll hope to be in touch with the other sponsors. But pretty exciting news for 2013.
Well, that's just absolutely great news. I look forward to participating, contributing, anything that we could do here on my end. Absolutely. Would love to be involved. You know, going back to the panel discussion, you know, you're looking up at the front of the room, sitting on my side of the table. You were up with your clipboard, as you said, off to the side. And I was just, you know, thinking about it, you know, having been a franchisee, having been a franchisor, consultant, et cetera, there's so many different hats within franchising. I'm looking at these people, and, you know, when you hear started X amount of companies, you know, John, you know, look at Ken and what he accomplished with Driven Vans, and look at somebody with Tabasum, and just even try to fathom 170 plus franchise locations and his story of starting out as a dishwasher. And it's so easy to look at these people as bigger than life. And then, as Tabasum speaking, and he threw in a couple of off-color words, which
he did.
And, you know, joking and just so humble, and says, can I say that?
Yeah.
And I just thought, I mean, you know, these are real people. And,
yeah.
and I think that's the key. At the end of the day, you know, everybody's putting their pants on at the same time. Everybody's got the same stories. And I think there's one word up there that those three gentlemen just absolutely probably never say in their life, and that's can't. Because coming from so many different directions, to be at such a level of success, and it's just, I mean, just that type of mentoring approach that I'm sitting there, you know, basically screaming out to all these young, impressionable franchise brands saying, you can do it. You can climb this mountain. This is not something you should be intimidated by. This is something that can be done. I mean, and as we talked yesterday, Susan, and I said, how are we going to close the gap? How are we going to continue to share the information from Dealmakers Summit 2012 to Dealmakers Summit 2013? And one of the things that I would like to do with your assistance is I'd like to bring Tabasum and David and Ken on Franchise Today to share those stories as a continuation of Dealmakers Summit, and also reserve, you know, three or four other spots over the next year in order to talk specifically about DealMaker Summit, what has been, and where we're going in the future. And that's another commitment that we're making to you and to everybody involved at DealMaker Summit.
Well, thank you so much. I'm just been blown away by the support that people have offered. Been so generous, and like I said in the introduction of those three guys, I feel so fortunate over the years to have made some really good friends in this industry, and they're good people. But I was specifically talking about those three guys when I use them as representatives to say they're just really good men, right? There's a lot of really good men and women in this industry that are just good people. And that's what's so fun for me, you know. And I love that you said, I mean, we had a lot of young companies there, and that's part of what we will work on in 2013 is, again, you use the phrase closing the gap. We'll close the gap between the size of the companies that are there and the companies that are represented in the capital pool. We believe that there'll be more risk capital involved. We believe the equity guys will still be there, and we're going to continue to pull in individuals and some of the smaller funds that really want to be there to want to, you know, see who's up and coming. And we'll also, you know, really strengthen the size of the companies that were there. But we're in a position at DealMakers to connect. I'm just thinking about Justin Delmolin, and Justin with one company store up and open and a great concept, and he's ready to go. And then we partner him with all of those guys that were in that room and gals that just want to share their knowledge and want to challenge you to think about it differently. And what an awesome opportunity that is to really change franchising at its core and make sure that we're doing everything we can for the industry to put the best franchise concepts with the best chance of longevity and really good operating systems, strength of program for their franchisees, and let's start them really young so that this industry just continues to blossom. And I think maybe I'm thinking too blue sky or too big perspective, or maybe I'm thinking that my impact is bigger than it actually is or DealMaker's impact is, but boy, that just, to me, that's the stuff that starts to get exciting.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more, and I think the key here is that we don't look at DealMaker Summit as a start, stop, start again type of venture. This is something that the conversation, the discussion needs to continue, and we need to build upon that over the next year so that especially going into the summer where so many people will be fully aware of it. And with that in mind, let's talk a little bit and recap some of the meat of the itinerary that took place, the event that took place during the conference. And of course, I understand that there was a lot of confidential information that was shared, so obviously we don't want to go down that road. But if you would, just kind of give our listeners, especially the ones that are just being introduced to DealMaker Summit, although I can't believe unless they've been living under a rock how they didn't hear about it. But the photo ones that haven't or the ones that really didn't understand what actually took place, kind of run us through the itinerary that took place in Chicago.
Happy to. And you asked earlier how did, you know, some of the ways that my board of advisors really influenced my thought process. And David Barr specifically on this point really influenced my thought process. I was thinking about a standard two-day conference. You know, you kick off at the kind of 9 a.m. and you close at kind of 4 p.m. And he and I were talking at a board meeting one day, and he just said, these are busy people. And we were specifically targeting the capital folks because we knew we wanted to do everything we could to get them in the room, obviously. These are very busy people. They are well-traveled. They want every ounce of their time, you know, well-scheduled and well-used. So a bunch of the equity money, obviously, is on the East Coast. And it's certainly spread all over the country, but there's a large concentration on the East Coast. And so what can you do to be conscious of that? So we started the event with a registration at 9 o'clock on Tuesday morning so that a good number of our folks on the East Coast could still fly in Tuesday morning and only be away from home and their work one night. And I think that was a pretty crucial piece to the puzzle. So the folks that were able to fly in Monday afternoon, whether that was our West Coast friends or just folks that wanted to get in and get settled, whatnot, we did an informal reception for them at the hotel. And you thought I ordered up that Chicago weather, didn't you? It was that perfect.
It couldn't have been more perfect.
It could not having have been better. As a car wash girl, I wish I knew how to order weather that specifically. But so anyway, it was amazing. We were on the outdoor patio up the Sofitel in the middle of the Gold Coast, and it was just real casual. But what I wanted to happen at that event was that really just uncomfortable feeling when you're the only person and you don't really know anybody. I wanted that to go away immediately. And so, you know, when everybody got there, they had a welcome card waiting for them at the front desk from me that explained, you know, where we were going to be, the different events that were going to happen. Please join us. Here's where you can find us. Welcome to the event. And we all met out on this great patio on a beautiful night. And it was real informal conversation, that initial, hi, how are you? Because remember, we were strict confidentiality before the event, so nobody knew who was going to be there. So right. It was really a surprise to kind of see some folks. And that only lasted about an hour and 15 minutes. And exactly what I hoped would happen happened. People started to pair up and group up, and then everybody that wanted to had, you know, dinner companions or were able to just go have, additional conversation, exactly the way I wanted it to come together. So that was Monday night, and then Tuesday morning we started bright and early at 6:30 with a great 3.5-mile run from the hotel. There were six of us just to stretch our legs and, again, just keep building relationships and the stuff you can learn about people in that more informal environment. Like who can run an 8-minute mile and who can't. You know, you learn those things pretty quickly, Paul. So, and what everybody, you know, who looks best when they're dripping sweat? That's always a good thing. But we got out to the lake and, again, just picture perfect skyline and beautiful morning, just great fellowship. Came back and registration was at 9. First event kicked off at 10. And each of the groups went their separate ways to start the event. So the Capital group went to the Chang Cohen room where Amy and Rick and Michael Daigle led that discussion. And then the franchise folks went to another room where Kevin Hine and Rick Michaels from Bakery Baker Daniels and Brian Schnall led that group's discussion. And it was really about how do you bring the two parties together and the things to be aware of when you try and do that. So it was really great discussion. Then we led right into our lunch, which, you know, Dealmakers was all about the special touches. It was supposed to be those things that you just don't find anywhere else. And so at the hotel, which had amazing food, we asked the chef if he would come in and talk with us for just a moment about the food, do something special for us. This guy had just been interviewed by the Chicago News that morning. He's cooked at the James Beard Mansion, 2012 top 10 chefs to watch type kind of guy. His name's Chef Greg Biggers. So Greg put together this amazing, what's called amuse-bouche, which is just a sample bite, and it's part of how the Sofitel just did something special for our guests. And it was this little, beautiful watermelon salad with what would they call those? Caviar. What was that stuff? Balsamic vinegar caviar.
Balsamic vinegar caviar.
It yeah.
This balsamic vinegar that they must have frozen, turned into little beads that, you know, looked like caviar and really was a phenomenal complement to that tiny little dish. I mean, it really did cleanse the palate.
So it was just amazing, but again, a special touch, and he came in to talk about Sofitel's, you know, what they call cousement, and cousement is just the special touch. It's not sending somebody a birthday cake on their birthday, but it's finding out that little thing that's really special to them and then doing that. And so this was the cousement, something special that we could do for deal makers. I knew I had a bunch of foodies in the room and just that extra special touch, and so we wanted that to run throughout the event. Lunch went right into the spotlight presentations, and I will say we had a problem with the AV, which I sort of started to freak out, but everybody else was so supportive of one another. What an amazing thing to see was all those folks in the room saying, you know what, it's not a conference until there's a problem with the AV. Did you try, or could you just run it from here? Just that support was unbelievable. I loved it. And we got that back up and running, and everybody just kind of took it in stride. And that's where our 9 companies really strutted their stuff. They really said who they were, where they're at, what they see happening in the future, what the ask was, how much money are they looking for, and what are they going to use the money for. And so that's what happened in that 20 minutes. Then we went into one-on-one meetings. So the equity guys had a chance to say, boy, I really liked this concept. I want to spend some more time talking with them in private rooms. And the private rooms, if you didn't get a chance to see them, They were pretty special. They were up on a different floor, and the Sofitel worked with us to take the beds out of the – they were sleeping rooms. They took the beds out and put in conference tables and conference chairs so that we had a very secure environment to have those discussions in. And then we came back that night, and there was educational sessions running all day, so you could duck in and out of a room, learn some great stuff. Thank you so much for the presentation you did. You know, we just had some really great topics. Then that night, which was kind of our showcase or our signature event, you know, we did a great cocktail reception. And then we had a piano player come in for Tuesday night, played for 2 hours, which was just set the setting, you know, lit up the walls and did banquet stations, action stations. There was an Asian station, a meet and whatever, and we just wanted everybody to be able to network, move around. We didn't want you to be stuck at a table. We wanted you to be moving and engaging. And then we came back and did a very similar setup on Wednesday, and we had everybody out the door by 1 o'clock Wednesday afternoon so you could be on airplanes home that next afternoon. And I loved what you posted where, you know, you were literally there a day and a half or 2 days, and you felt like you had been together for much longer period of time than that because of the environment and, you know, just the connections and that personal touch. So,
And I think the personal touch, I mean, I think you were just so sensitive to everybody's needs, their time. It truly was to perfection. And even the little things, I mean, I know during the banquet the night before, which or the night of the first day of the conference, was so elegant, but yes, it was great. Everybody moving around, the food was great, but it was those little subtle touches. I mean, the piano music that I almost just kind of took for granted as I was standing there. It wasn't, you know, so obtrusive and loud that, I mean, it really truly was background and set the mood. And the various lights that I know probably cost a fortune.
They sure did.
You know, you know, but everything just, you know, detailed to its to the umpteenth degree. I think it's just hats off to you and certainly hats off to Hotel Sofitel for being the host venue. It's just a great place, perfect place. And Thelma's probably right. It's probably going to be hard to negotiate now. But
yeah.
I'm sure you'll accomplish it.
Well, we're going to start early now.
Well, we're starting to close in at the end of the hour, and as you and I often find, we never run out of things to talk about. We probably could continue talking about this for the next few hours at least. And, of course, we're sensitive at the hard time that we have to stop here in about 9 minutes. So what do you envision, or are you at the point of envisioning how the next 2013 Dealmakers Summit is going to look?
Yeah, we're actually just sending out our surveys this morning, and in what I think will be one of my more brilliant moves here lately, we're not sending out the registration attendee list until people send us back their surveys. So I kind of joked about that at the actual meeting too, but we really want that information. And, you know, I've been so fortunate to receive some very cool personal emails from folks with the informal feedback, and now we just need the tactical stuff. And so I have assured them that, you know, our group and our board of advisors will take that information very seriously. You know, we're going to try and close that gap between the size of the company and the capital that's there. I want to continue to support the young entrepreneurial companies that are going to be there. I want them to feel like this is a place where they can come learn and come explore and come meet folks like yourself and Ken Walker and John Rachi and Tabassum and all those great folks we've already mentioned. But I do want to continue to encourage some of the larger franchise companies that are looking at taking on a capital partner, whether it's private equity, venture capital, you know, risk capital, just an individual partner. I really want to encourage them to think about 2013 and being at Dealmakers. You know, I'm questioning the importance of the one-on-one meetings, obviously. The Sofitel provided a great environment where if you wanted to have a one-on-one with somebody, it was very easily done. Very easily done. So I don't know that we need to have the one-on-ones. I think I will do some moving around with the spotlight presentation times and just make some adjustments there. But by and large, you know, those are just a jump to the left or the right. They're not major changes. We feel like for this first one, You know, back to what Michael Daigle said, we hope that people felt it wasn't just a great first-year event, that it was a great event. And the word we keep hearing, Paul, and that I will probably incorporate into the marketing for 2013, is it wasn't a conference. And Aziz had said that in an email he followed up, and he said, you know, one of my measures was, did it feel like a conference? And it most certainly did not, which was a huge accomplishment in and of itself. We don't want it to feel like a conference. We want it to stay in the 100-person range, 100, 125 hard stop. This will become, you know, a very much invitation-only event. There will not continue to be open registrations. The way that our supplier friends will get in will be through sponsorship of the event. We want to be very, very sensitive to those things. But, you know, as Aziz had said, we don't want it to feel like a conference. We want it to be an experience. And that was the word that we heard most frequently from people is, it was a great experience. And that, to me, that just makes me smile. If I can take somebody's very, very, very valuable time and have them have a great experience, wow, that feels like we're getting somewhere now.
You know, I agree with you there, and I heard a lot of that sitting at the various tables during the networking aspects, during breakfast, during, you know, lunch, at dinner and what have you. And I heard somebody say, you know, it's kind of a combination between speed dating and Shark Tank. And I think just the fact that you take this brand new, young, newly born event, and it's associated with a very popular TV show with some, you know, unbelievably successful entrepreneurs, really speaks volumes for the quality of the event, and as you so eloquently said, the experience. And I think my hat's off to you and everybody that was involved in putting together just a fantastic summit, not a conference, a fantastic summit.
Well, thank you. I know one thing I know we talk a lot about the positives and how well it really did go, but I don't want to lose sight of the fact for everybody that's out there that there was a very critical time for deal makers, that it was not all roses the whole time. This was a very challenging experience for me and for, you know, for the teams that were supporting me. You know, as late as 45 days before this event, I was at a place where I was making the decision whether to refund all of the sponsorship money and completely pay the hotel obligation that I was under, which was several thousands of dollars, because there was not enough interest. And those are really soul-searching times. And that was a very critical juncture. I went to a movie with my friend Kristen one night, and we were going to see Magic Mike, by the way, and I only went, certainly it wasn't for the dancing or the good bodies. I went for the plot, and I went because I really just needed to let my mind go. And we get in the car, and Kristen said, well, how's Dealmakers going? And I didn't want to talk about it because it was going so poorly. And I was at that no-go juncture. And I think a lot of us have found ourselves there. And I would just encourage people to not ignore the vision that's there and to do everything you can, call in favors and persevere, because so often, you know, there is a really positive experience on the other side of that. You just got to trench in. But it was not all roses the whole time, Paul, that's for sure.
I'm sure that would have been an expensive party of one.
Yeah, it would have. And I actually did tell a few of my friends in franchising, I'm like, if in doubt, can you just come to Chicago in August? Because I have a very expensive food and beverage minimum I have to meet, right? So,
yeah.
You know, that was going to be the alternative. But, you know, the other side of that is I literally just got an email from one of the 9 companies that attended that said, you know, hopefully in 2013 we'll have a success story to report. I'm having conversations with several of the investors and firms that were in attendance, still very early, but I'll keep you posted.
That's awesome.
That makes it worth it.
That's all you can ask to do is get that ball rolling, and it certainly has helped do that. Well, you know, a lot has transpired in a very short period of time, and Dealmakers Summit, I would have to say, is a success, and I'm looking forward to building upon it. I'm looking forward to talking with you again, not only about the Dealmakers Summit, but hopefully about a potential partnership that you have going on with Superwash. I'm sure that's exciting, and I'm sure you'll share when the time is appropriate, as well as watching all you do with your children, your husband, your family, triathlons, hunting, fishing, and anything else that you do. And it wouldn't surprise me to see you climbing up the Sears Tower or whatever one day. There's no doubt in my mind. Susan, it's always a pleasure and an honor to speak with you. I really appreciate you taking the time today, and also want to say for thank you from everybody in franchising for all you do in franchising, and look forward to seeing you in Washington next week during the Public Affairs Conference.
Thank you so much, Paul, for everything you guys did. I really believe that being on this show the first time is very much part of what helped, you know, make it a go versus a no-go for me. So I am very grateful. And to anybody that's out there that's looking at potential capital partners, anybody that has capital that wants to be in the franchise world, please, it's never too early to start thinking about 2013. Please reach out to me.
Absolutely. Thanks, Susan. Next week, as I said, Thursday at 11 a.m., that's our regular time slot. We'll be talking about the upcoming Franchise Social Media Summit, our second annual one. It's a production of Franchise Essentials Media Group, and I'll have some of the speakers and presenters on the show, and we'll talk a little bit about Franchise Social Media Summit, social, mobile, and local, and it should be really a great show. Until then, Paul Segretto wishing you the best, the very best, in this great, marvelous thing we refer to as franchising. Until then, Franchise Today is out.